Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Ken Blackwell, Ohio Secretary of State. And joining us in our conversation is Glenn Grant. Well, Ken, in the last segment, we talked a lot about the logistics of elections, but you've also been outspoken about the need for campaign finance reform. Could you describe your thoughts and also tell us about campaign finance reform efforts in Ohio?
People understand that money is the mother's milk of campaigns. But the question that always arises is, what is the influence of money, and can you follow the money? And so transparency it becomes a driving issue in all campaign finance reform discussions. And in Ohio, we've placed a priority on moving towards full disclosure. I happen to believe that every dollar that's involved in the political process should be fully disclosed. I don't get so caught up on how much money one contributor or a group of contributors contributes if I, in fact, as a voter and as a taxpayer, can understand how much money they're giving. But when they can hide that money and have an impact that is not fully disclosed, I think what you do is that you drive voter confidence down, because they begin to believe that that money has a greater influence than their particular level of participation. And so you've seen a tremendous fall off in civic engagement and voter participation, not only across the state of Ohio, but across the nation. And so campaign finance reform, driving for full disclosure, is a way of making that whole process more transparent for the purpose of building voter confidence and encouraging broader participation. We in Ohio were recently a part of a study, a joint study done by the California Voter Foundation, the Center for Government Studies, and the UCLA Law School. Ohio ranked as the fourth best state in the union for campaign finance disclosure laws and practices. And we scored number one for our electronic filing program, which we feel real good about, because it allows participants and observers of the political process to get information quickly about the impact of money and who gave what to whom. And then we ranked third for public accessibility to campaign finance data. So we're going to try to drive from third to number one there, and from fourth to number one in the country.
Ken, earlier this morning, you mentioned your business services division. Can you detail some of the changes that have taken place since you've taken office?
It's a great example of how you use modern technology to transform a unit or an organization. When I became Secretary of State, one of the great challenges was that I understood that my office was sort of the gateway to business opportunity. It all started with our office. That's where you got your corporate identity and you incorporated your business. And when we took office in 1999, it was taking about 15 weeks to incorporate a business in the state of Ohio. Today, we've moved that through the use of email and internet technology and toll-free telephone numbers. We've been able to reduce that to 1 to 3 days, and in most cases, you can get it done in 1 day. What we had to do there was make some major changes in the infrastructure and the technology infrastructure. For example, when I went in, I sort of managed by walking around, and so I was starting on my first day to get flooded with complaints about how slow the office was moving on incorporations. I asked people some simple questions. How many phone lines do we have? We were getting about 125,000 calls a month, and we only had 11 phone lines, you know. And so I knew instantly we had to get more phone lines. And so we instantly moved up, went over and had to make the case to the legislature to get about 102 phone lines. We then started to look at internet technology and say, how much of this can we move towards a 24/7 operation and move to the consumer through the use of the internet? And then we really found that people who didn't like standing in line saw the email communication as a way that they could communicate more effectively with us in a more time efficient way. So by using these technologies, we were able to radically reduce the time that it took to incorporate a business, but we made people understand that we were part of an operation, part of a state that wanted to be more inviting to business, make it easier to start and to do business in the state of Ohio. But it also had to, that transformation involved changing the way that we did things with our people. We had a relatively high absentee rate. People were not cross-trained. And so we, in fact, had to create incentives and sanctions and expectations that we expected people on the job and that the job could actually be fun. But what we found out was that it was so taxing and so exhausting because they didn't have the training and the technology to make it easier. They were swamped and they were burnt out, and they, instead of, you know, just taking it day in and day out, you know, there in some units there was an absentee rate of, you know, upward to 20-25% a day. So we changed all of that through our Uncommon Sense program, making people understand that they mattered, that they were part of a team, but that they had to actually live the change that we were advocating from the top of the organization all the way to the base of it. And we were able to get that done, and now people actually feel good about what we're doing. We were able to move our entire operation, reduce our dependency on general tax revenue by 64% over a 5-year period. We are now operating on an enterprise model where we our dominant revenue comes, source of revenue comes from user fees that are based on the real cost of delivering a service, not one penny more. People actually, when they can see the value of those user fees, they pay it with a smile, and that's what we've been able to accomplish. We drove a cultural change, which actually changes the way we do business and the way we embrace technology.
I thought it was interesting as you described that. You described both technology and people. So I'm curious, how would you summarize the lessons learned from that experience for others?
At the end, technology in and of itself can give you efficiency, but not necessarily give you effectiveness if you don't bring people around to first embracing the technology and then mastering it. And so that's been our key. And so in a cultural sense, what we say is that competency and character standing alone are good traits in and of themselves. You fuse competency and character, and not only do you get, you know, a better workforce, you get better results, and you have people who enjoy delivering those results.
Ken, you've had a very interesting career that's rich with experiences. What advice would you give to a person interested in a career in public service?
I think first and probably would be what I would tell people in any professional development, or any professional development aspiration: know yourself, be comfortable in your own skin, understand that, you know, if you want to be a self-starter and a self-manager and a leader, that it really starts with your internal compass, that people read your behavior more so than they hear your words, you know. So live what you say that you believe, and if you do that, you have a chance of inspiring others just through your example. And that applies to anyone in a public service career or a private sector career, people who aspire to be leaders. And I guess my grandmother gave me some good advice when I was growing up. She said, you know, the three books that you need to master and if you master them, you will have mastered the art of good living. She said the first is your date book or your calendar. It tells how you spend your time with whom you spend it. And I found out that effective leaders and effective people tend to spend their time with other effective people and people who are of strong character. She said the second book is your checkbook. She said how you manage your resources actually will indicate what's important to you. And in government, you know, we can do a lot of things with the resources that we have, but we can't do everything. So we have to make some tough public choices about what it is that we do, what our competencies are, and how we do those things well. She then told me that, you know, in my family, we were a strong Christian family, but it could have been a grandmother in a strong Muslim or Jewish family, or, you know, or a Hindu family. My grandmother said, it was the Bible. She said, this this, in fact, will help you choose the path of conviction over the path of convenience. And for me, that's been the key, to understand that, my leadership is not only character-based but faith-based, and that there is a roadmap for me and those three books. You know, how am I a steward of people's money as if it was my money? Who do I associate myself with? And you know, what is my internal moral compass, my character development driving force that allows me to live the change that I, in fact, advocate?
Well, Ken, Glenn and I want to thank you very much for joining us. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you for squeezing us in your very busy schedule.
Well, thank you all. If there are listeners out there that want more information, please go to www.ohiospirit.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Ken Blackwell, the Ohio Secretary of State. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and also get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.